Welcome to The Chalene Show. Chalene is a New York Times bestselling author, celebrity fitness trainer, and obsessed with helping you live your dream life.
Hey guys, thanks so much for joining me here on The Chalene Show. I so appreciate you. You're going to love today's episode. You're going to love understanding more about your body and hormones. Dudes, you too. Like, we're going to talk about testosterone. We're going to talk about gut health. We're going to talk about these things that I know are really important to you, especially if you, you're listening to a podcast on health. So I know it's important to you. And if you've ever struggled with feeling like you were weight loss resistant, if you've ever wondered about why certain people tend to be able to do a particular type of diet, but it just does not work for you, well, you will have many of your questions answered in this episode. And if you haven't already, I strongly encourage you to go back and listen to episodes number 239 and 240 with Dr. Zach Bush. The reason why is I think after you listen to those episodes, which, by the way, I've never had people respond to episodes the way you've responded to those two episodes. Like the reviews, people in my reviews on iTunes said, that made me cry. It's changed everything. My head exploded. Like, I so get it now. I heard from people who lost family members to cancer and people who struggled with their own issues regarding hormone imbalance and brain fog and autism, like name it. Go read the reviews on iTunes and you'll hear how profoundly those last two episodes affected people. Well, I think today's episode is going to, like, you're going to go, oh my gosh, wow, this is all just coming together. This is Dr. Dawn DeSilvia. Dr. Dawn DeSilvia, MD, is also a diplomat of the American Board of Family Medicine. Dr. DeSilvia served as an associate clinical physician at UCLA Santa Monica Hospital and the UCLA Malibu Family Practice. In addition to her traditional education, she also has studied extensively with the Institute of Functional Medicine, the Academy for Advanced Medicine, the American Academy of Ozone Therapy, as well as many of the leaders in biologic, environmental, and mind-body medicine. Dr. DeSilvia's passion for reaching the underlying issues that affect our health, healing, and longevity are the cornerstone of her practice. In this lesson, you'll understand specifically why inflammation and problems with our gut health may be the root cause of weight loss resistance, what to do about it, what questions to ask, and here's the kicker, what tests you should be asking for or ordering for yourself if you're unable to get your family healthcare practitioner to order them for you. Ladies and gentlemen, I introduce to you Dr. Dawn DeSilvia. Dawn, how are you?
I'm good, Chalene. How are you doing?
Fantastic. Let's just get right to it because this is about a journey for those who've been struggling with weight loss resistance, hormone levels, and just like figuring out their body.
Yes. Well, I'm so excited to be talking to you about this, Chalene, because it's the information out there is not what has really allowed women to empower their bodies and take back control of their health. Mm. And, you know, like you said, I heard you say, you know, you really want to help people get in the driver's seat. And so much of what's happening in women's bodies, that's exactly the opposite of how they feel. You know, they feel like someone else is driving the car. They're doing everything, you know, that their sister's doing or their neighbor's doing or that they read or heard on TV is working for everybody else. And why isn't it working for them? So I'm so excited to start to unravel this and bring an understanding and then tools that can really help people get back in the driver's seat. Yes.
Well, you're a bit of a renegade. Can we start by understanding how it is that with your background in education, you've really kind of taken this path that's unconventional?
It is. And, you know, the good news is there's a lot more satellites of doctors like me around the country right now. So there's a real movement in bringing the science forth, bringing this understanding forth. So before I went into medical school, I had a deep appreciation for alternative medicine, for acupuncture, mind-body connection, all of that I knew was very vital to people's health. And so actually before I went to medical school, I helped build and coordinate an integrative medicine program for the Los Angeles Free Clinic. So got my roots in program development there, and then went into medicine knowing that I wanted to be part of the bridge of a more comprehensive way of understanding our bodies, of understanding health, and also a more preventive way. You know, Western medicine a lot of times waits until a disease state happens. It waits until somebody gets sick. And that's, you know, there's so much that we know before people get sick or before they have symptoms that are causing them suffering or frustration. We can detect that, you know, we have better tools to understand what's going on that can intervene at a much earlier point and decrease disease risks. So that was the groundwork that, you know, led me into wanting to become a doctor and wanting to be part of a new and better type of medicine.
And I'm sure it hasn't been easy. I'm not seeing very many people who are willing to go out on a limb and do something that's different and follow their heart. And I love that it's your true passion.
Oh, thank you. Well, it is. And it's my passion and my mission.
Well, let's get right to some of the questions I have from my audience. How much of weight loss resistance do you think can be related back to inflammation we have and may or may not be aware of it?
It's huge. Every part of our metabolism and our brain function, and I see this with my patients all the time, is they'll be eating a great diet. You know, they're exercising and they're eating clean, and they just can't lose weight for the life of them. And once we start to get into what specifically is causing their body inflammation and addressing that, the pounds start to come off and their metabolism works better.
What are some of the most common symptoms of inflammation? Like, would you know if you're experiencing inflammation? I mean, there's the obvious, like joints are swelling, but aside from that, the less obvious.
Well, what we're talking about is a great sign of inflammation, doing the right things, but not your body's holding on to weight. Mm. That's a sign of inflammation. That's a sign of an imbalance, something going on somewhere that is putting a fire where it shouldn't be. So difficulty losing weight, diarrhea or constipation, insomnia is a great sign of inflammation. Anxiety is a great sign of inflammation. Brain fog, difficulty focusing, neuroinflammation, and the varying degrees of that. And it can start out with just, you know, fatigue and problems focusing. And then, you know, the spectrum is the more serious of Alzheimer's or Parkinson's and those types of neuroinflammation.
If I'm hearing you correctly, we have to start with the gut.
Yes. Yes. You want me to take you on a little science tour of the gut?
Absolutely.
Okay. Like I said, 70% at least of our immune system is made in our gut. And what happens in a healthy gut, what we want to see is a diverse microbiome. A microbiome, we actually have more bacteria in our gut. We have more other in our gut than we have our own cells.
So when you say other, you mean we have other organisms?
We have other organisms. Okay. Our gut is colonized by good, healthy bacteria, which is called our flora. Mm-hmm. And what happens in our modern times with the types of diets that a lot of people grew up eating? I know for myself, it was diet soda and
fat-free Snackwell cookies and
and processed food and fast food. I mean, that was fun, you know, to get to go to the drive-thru. It was something that a lot of us grew up on, and a lot of us still, you know, a lot of people still do, not knowing really how that's impacting our health.
Mm-hmm.
So what I want to stress is one of the things is weight loss is not the old idea of calories in, calories out. It's really right?
Right.
You know,
amen.
That's such a big, important message to talk about. It's the type of food, the type of fuel that you're putting into your body. And so what happens is when you're putting in chemicals, when you're putting in sugars and a lot of things that are by nature inflammatory, this really healthy microbiome that's diverse and that's got lots of different species in it, that starts to go down, mm-hmm. and you start to get a disproportionate amount of bad bacteria for your good bacteria. And then what happens is these bad bacteria secrete something called LPS, mm-hmm. lipopolysaccharide. And that is a hugely inflammatory molecule that causes disruption both in the gut lining, goes directly to the liver, knocks out a bunch of our detoxifying molecules in our liver, and then goes up to our brain and not only wipes out hormone receptors in our brain, but causes a lot of other damage to neurons and supporting tissues around the neurons.
We're very temperamental machines.
We are.
So interesting how poorly we've treated them. You know, if you buy an expensive vehicle, when you get the vehicle, they tell you to put premium gasoline in it because mm-hmm. the engine really requires that in order to function the way you expect that vehicle to function. But it's funny how it's like we almost don't want to hear it. It's like, oh, that sounds complicated. I don't want to hear it. But, you know, how well has that been working out for us?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And that's one of the things that's so exciting, Shalene, about what you do and what you're doing is you have this ability to take a very complicated system of information and really distill it based on a lot of research, a lot of data, gathering experts in the field. And
thank you.
And talking about it in a way that's, no pun intended, digestible.
Yeah, thank you.
Right?
I appreciate that. And, you know, it's as I do with anything that's been a challenge for me, I try to take my lifers on that journey with me. And the truth is, I didn't want to hear any of this or think about any of it because it felt complicated. I want an easy answer too, right? Like, why is Diet Coke bad for you? It's zero calories and water's zero calories. What could the difference, you know? And until I just caught up with me in every way possible, from my brain to my body fat, brain fog, the way I felt. And it's so, man, knowledge is power, and it's so much fun to realize, to trust yourself and realize you're smart enough to put these pieces together. Some of us have to have it repeated a few more times and draw some pictures. But once you start to figure it out, you're like, oh, not only do I understand it, I get it, and I'm going to do, I know better now, so I can do better now and live better now and feel better now.
Yeah. And I think one of the key points in that process is community. Mm-hmm. You know, you really can't do this alone, or it becomes overwhelming. And, you know, the internet's a great thing, but there's just way too much information to, you know, I have a hard time, you know, and I went to medical school discerning what's, you know, reliable and what's true. And to have a community of people that you trust, and you can do this together, and you guys can share feedback is so vital for this, for making sense out of this process and making it fun and making it doable. That's really key.
We need that accountability. How do we get rid of bad bacteria?
And so this is the thing. It's not that we go on these killing sprees to get rid of bad bacteria. We start to colonate the good bacteria more. So that, and this, I love how medicine and science can be very philosophical too, because we can focus on what's not working right, and that just doesn't seem to solve problems. But when we foster what is good, then everything grows. People come to me and they've, you know, they've just been so frustrated. To really start with some things that can give tangible results to start them on the path. So, you know, there's a couple of things. There's some universal things that I'll talk about, but I also want to lead with really to get tested. There's some tests that you can do both in your blood work about some genetic predispositions. Definitely looking at hormone levels, and we'll talk more about that.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah, because that's so key. I mean, once the environment is right, once the gut is primed, you know, a great word that you're using right now, priming the system is so important. So it's like when you plant a tree, you can't plant a tree in the desert. You got to have the right soil.
Yes.
Right? So the tree can grow. So I'm a big fan of that.
And I love that you're going to share with us some testing protocols, because that's also exciting and also challenging, is that we have been kind of trained or inundated with the message that you're just supposed to go to your practitioner, you describe your symptoms, they put you on some type of medication, as opposed to actually taking a look at what's going on inside your body, actually treating organs and hormone levels after looking at them, not just filling out a questionnaire.
you know, one of my missions is getting this more into primary care doctors' offices, because there's such a disconnect between, again, the science that has been around. This is not new. Michael Gershon wrote a book called The Second Brain almost 20 years ago. And he was a neurobiologist. Mm. So this science is there. And there's a statistic that I love to share with people, because I have a lot of patients say, you know, well, why isn't my primary care doctor doing this? And, and then I'll pull out my file cabinet of research articles and show them things. But there's a statistic that says it takes an average of 17 years and $80 million. So 17 years and $80 million between the time of a scientific discovery and the time it's incorporated into medical care.
Wow. That's amazing.
Isn't that astounding?
What is the second brain, by the way?
So the second brain is the gut. The gut is the second brain.
Jeez.
And he, again, a neurobiologist, wrote this book 20 years ago. He was working in the brain and found that he could go no further in discussing what was happening in the brain until he explained what is happening in the gut and the gut-brain connection.
Wow. And I think that's probably why Dr. Longo's research, and I know you've had a chance, I think, recently to hear from him, is so fascinating, because they're treating cognitive disorders starting with the gut biome.
Yes. It's fascinating, and it just blows the roof off of our possibilities of these, again, these processes that Western medicine just kind of says, I don't know what to do with, and we're realizing, oh, no, there's so much we can do.
Mm.
Yeah.
So where do we start?
So let's start with some testing. So your listeners after this podcast will have access to a handout that lists some of these tests. But just to go over my top five tests to ask your doctor for, and if they don't know about them or say they're not important, then it's really important to find somebody who does.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So and hand them the stack of research articles that they should read
on the way out.
On their way home. I don't mean to say that lightly, because I worked at UCLA. I trained and I worked at UCLA, and when you're inside of the system, you get taught the system. Mm-hmm, and it's vulnerable to look outside of that and then to have the time to investigate more. So, you know, that said, with all due respect for what they're doing, but we just need to
change it up.
Change it. We need to change it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that said, the things to get tested for, there's a gene called your MTHFR. And we all know what that sounds like. And for a lot of people, it is. It's this, that's why I haven't been detoxing. That's why it's, you know, these things are harder for me than, or different for me than someone else. That's a very important gene to know about.
Yeah.
The other thing that's important to know about is, what are your hidden food sensitivities and your environmental allergies?
So the first test is to ask your practitioner if you can be tested to see if you carry the gene marker for the MTHFR gene. I happen to carry that gene, and my daughter also carries that gene. We had her tested as well. And so now, just, I guess, before we talk about how to treat it, let's talk about why do we need to even look if we carry that genetic marker?
So if you carry that genetic marker, that gene sits right at the bottleneck of a cellular pathway that on the one end makes energy. On the other end, it detoxifies, which detoxification is a whole other talk. It's an umbrella term that people use really lightly in it. And I don't know if people understand all the nuances. Detoxification is both important in the liver for protecting us from all of the chemicals that we're exposed to that we, you know, weren't even on our radar even 5 years ago, some of these chemicals. So our detoxification pathways really need to be on their game these days. The other thing is, detoxification is important for metabolizing our hormones. Mm-hmm. So when we make hormones, we can go down different pathways. Some pathways are very beneficial to us, and our brains and our bodies and the way that we feel and our metabolism. But other pathways are very inflammatory, can create disease risks and even cancer risks. So we want to make sure that our detoxification pathways are really serving us well and functioning optimally.
So I was tested for that and tested positive. And now with the supplementation that I'm doing, how much am I able to reduce the effect that that genetic marker has on my risk for disease?
You know, I'm inclined to say 100% because, and
wow,
it's very varying degrees. So what this does, and this was one of the groundbreaking studies that looked at this gene, is our genes are not our destiny. Our what's called our epigenetics, what sits on top of our genes that tells it to either be expressed in our body or not, is really confers so much more of our health than our actual DNA does, which is so exciting because talk about putting people back in the driver's seat, right? I mean, if we can control our genes, and that's the exciting thing right now. We're just starting to really be able to be empowered about the impact, the way we live, the way we eat, and the way that we think. I mean, all of the mind-body connection and, you know, the podcast you did with Dr. Michaela was so inspiring and so on point about how our thoughts and our feelings impact us and how important it is to be in the driver's seat with that.
Yeah. I feel like I'm a good mom because I got that. I really did. I just felt like, wow, the fact that I carry this, I've probably passed it on to my daughter and now she's taking care to, as you say, sit in the driver's seat when it comes to that genetic marker. It doesn't have to be her destiny. The second test that you suggested that we take was a...
So screen for potential allergies, both environmental and food sensitivities. Mm-hmm. So this is different than going to the allergist and having a skin test. That test for outright, you know, anywhere from anaphylaxis, like severe allergic reaction where you can't breathe and you need an EpiPen, to hives and things that it's a part of the immune system, they're a specific part of the immune system they're testing for. So the misconception is if that was negative, or if I don't have a stuffy nose or seasonal allergies, then I don't have allergies. But the truth is that there's this smoldering type of inflammatory response to certain foods that people eat that they might not even know about it because your body kind of gets immune if it's just been used to something for a long time. If our immune system is preoccupied with essentially non-harmful substances in a lot of cases, it's no longer available to survey our environment for the more harmful things. Every year I see the flu getting and the colds getting worse and worse.
Yes.
You know, they're just these, it's like, you know, the bugs are getting stronger, but our immune system is getting weaker. And so the good news is that we can get stronger. If we take back control of our immune system and stop letting it run around being involved with allergens, then we have it available to really serve us for the heavy lifting when we need it.
In a test like that, would it pick up sensitivities to gluten or lactose?
Yes.
Things of that nature? Okay.
Absolutely.
Which is great because I found out I'm not gluten sensitive, but I still don't feel great when I have gluten.
And what we did with you is we were actually screening for celiac. So we, with gluten sensitivity, even the food sensitivity tests that we do for gluten, and those can be negative. And what we're finding is the gluten molecule is this very, very long molecule. So the standard tests out there will only test for certain parts of that molecule. And so you can still be sensitive and have a falsely negative.
Interesting.
That could be why you still feel better, right? Off of gluten is what you were going to say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. It's hard to say how much of that is placebo, you know?
Right.
We've just been told that, oh, it's probably gluten. It's funny how we all like to educate ourselves. Like one person goes deep and then kind of shares it with everybody else and then we all self-diagnose.
Right.
How do we specifically ask for that test?
So it's a food and environmental sensitivity test.
And again, I will link in the show notes to this podcast, that download so that you can actually walk into your doctor's office with this list. I don't want you to just have a list in your hands. I want you to understand why this is important to you. So that third test, what would you recommend?
The third test is know your toxic metals. So this is, again, looking at what causes inflammation in the body. We know that allergies cause inflammation in the body. Toxins cause inflammation in the body. There was a study done by the National Institute of Health. I think it was 4 years ago. It was published in JAMA. I mean, these are medical journals that showed people who had heavy metals built up in their body had a 50% reduction in heart attack and strokes when they got those metals out of their body.
Wow.
So this is a big deal. And Western medicine is still, they dismissed the study. So now they're doing a second leg of it that hopefully will gather more attention. But again, it's that statistic. It takes 17 years, you know, for this information to get through. So I feel very passionate about this is an important thing to look at in your body. And metals are huge hormone disruptors. They, you know, my patients that have terrible symptoms going through menopause with hot flashes and brain fog, you know, if I can address their metals, that significantly starts to reduce those symptoms.
And so when we're talking about metals, are you referring to like mercury and lead and like tooth fillings?
It's those, but it's also there's arsenic in rice silos, mm-hmm. and there's cadmium, and you know there's a lot of ubiquitous toxins in the environment right
Our
now.
Drinking water.
Drinking water. Mm-hmm. Drinking water is a huge source of toxins and heavy metals. And so definitely addressing the mercury fillings, the metal content in the fish that you're eating, all of that is really important.
And how have you seen a removal of those toxins provide some with relief as it pertains to weight gain or weight loss resistance and hormones?
I'll lead with this because this is very important. And this, again, gets back to one size doesn't fit all. While it is important for everybody at some point to get those metals out, mm-hmm. you have to make sure it's the right timing.
What does that mean?
That means that if there's a lot of inflammation in your body and you're mm-hmm. having various types of symptoms, you want to stabilize before you start the process of pulling toxins out. Because the increase in inflammation and the risk of feeling worse when you do that is pretty big. You always want to make sure, and this can be done in a couple of weeks. The prime that you're doing, again, really, I've just been so inspired and I'm really excited about the participants for, because it really does, in a relatively short amount of time, prime the body to get ready for greater states of health and, yes. and other levels of intervention.
If we understand that these things can be done in a way that is more transitional, I guess you could say more comfortable, mm-hmm. and you can do that with knowledge, that's the way to go. So we can ask for a test to test our toxic metal levels.
To test the toxic metal levels. And what's important is that this is not a blood test. So blood test mm-hmm. just shows what you're exposed to recently. Mm-hmm. What you really need is you need a urine test. And mm-hmm. beyond that, you need what's called a urine challenge test. So again, all this will be written out for people. Mm-hmm. But because the problem is that those metals get inside of the cell and it's like glue. They bond inside of the cell, and that's where they cause the damage, because it's like a wrench in your machine. The wheel of your metabolism can't turn anymore. The wheel of your immune system and your neurotransmitters, none of that can turn because you got this big chunk of mercury in there or lead or something blocking that. So what you need is called a post-challenge test, where you take a medicine and then that unlocks that chemical bond and pulls it out of the cell, and then you get this urine test that really shows what your metal burden is.
My audience is, that at least the audience that follows me on Snapchat, I haven't posted it much to Instagram, but on Snapchat, they see me doing all these tests, and I think it's probably wonderful for them to now connect the dots between all these boxes they see me opening in containers.
It's but now making sense now why you were carrying sense. Around the jug of urine.
Yes, it all makes sense now. You're saying before this detox even begins, your body needs to be in a state that's prepared, and you're kind of restoring the health of your intestinal system.
Yes.
And your and that's really important. And I think people are so afraid of that.
Yeah, it's so important. You know, it's human nature to be resistant to change. And, you know, we have our comfort levels and change is challenging. But once you get over that hump, oh my gosh, I mean, it's so rewarding for me to see the rewards for the patient and to see them come in and just be like, oh my gosh, I'm feeling so much better. Mm-hmm. And, you know, really, it starts with changing the diet. So vital to start with clean foods and feeding the gut and feeding that good bacteria in the gut. Also in the list that your listeners will get, besides the top five tests, the top five things that you can start doing today to start priming that environment in the gut. And so a good probiotic, a good prebiotic. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of other things that I mentioned in the list that really start to help both feed the good bacteria in the gut, but also then decrease that inflammation. So a term that people hear a lot is leaky gut.
Yes.
And so what leaky gut is that a healthy gut has what's called tight gap junctions. There are these little connections that fit very tightly together. And so what gets through is what the body needs.
In other words, you're telling us that we all should aspire to have tight gap connections.
Yeah.
I'm working on my tight gaps. Okay. This is sexy. We are making gut health very sexy right now.
There's going to be a day when we're going to have an app on our phone that can show each other what our tight gaps look like.
Oh my God, I love it. Yes.
So we really want these healthy gaps junctions in our gut. What happens with leaky gut then, and this LPS molecule that we started out talking about that the bad bacteria are making, is that just goes in and disrupts those gap junctions and makes them have these widening gaps in there. So there's literally these holes in our intestinal lining. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is all this bad stuff can get through. We lose our frontline defense towards what should come into our body and what shouldn't come into our body.
In my own particular case, and I can share that because I've been doing the testing, I would be considered one of those individuals who's exercising 6 days a week, eating a really healthy diet, high in protein, you know, lots of greens, minimized carbohydrates. And then when we looked at my nutritional panel, I had zeros in a lot of my protein columns.
Yep.
And I didn't have issues with constipation or diarrhea. So I just didn't think leaky gut was an issue for me. So would you say that it was because of my, based on my nutritional panel, that you can see that there was loose gap connections?
Yes, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. When there's inflammation, you're just not absorbing your nutrients and, you know, bringing in toxins then that was contributing to why you were eating so good and exercising so well and doing all of those things right and not seeing the results that you wanted.
Well, I hope that people will hold on to that for a second because it's an answer for you. I started to feel like I was going crazy. Like, how can I eat better? You know, and I went to speak to the doctors at the Amen Clinic, and one of the first recommendations they had for me was to improve my nutrition. I'm like, are you, how? Please.
Do you know who you're talking to?
I felt like, you know, what's going on? What do I not understand? I felt really empowered once I had the, you know, nutritional panel to see, oh, I'm eating these things, but zero. I'm getting zeros in these columns, which means I'm not absorbing those nutrients.
Yes.
Is that one of the tests that you suggest?
So it goes in that category. It's know your gut health. Mm. So you can test directly for, there's actually, we did on you, it's called a NutraEval. Mm-hmm. So that's a bit more advanced, and it has then markers within that for the leaky gut. But there's actually tests available that you can directly test for something called zonulin levels. That is an enzyme that when these gap junctions open up, you secrete this enzyme. And so we can test directly for leaky gut. We can also test directly for your microbiome diversity, which is really cool. And it's not an expensive test. You can have it at the doctor's, but you can also, the cool thing is there's a couple companies online where you can just order this at-home kit. Mm-hmm. And test your own microbiome, which I think is a great motivating factor
it
for people.
It is. I've just ordered mine. Am I correct, Dr. Dawn, in assuming that our gut biome changes all the time?
Absolutely. And again, putting us back in the driver's seat, we can have an impact on this. And it's really rewarding, and I think keeps people on the road and motivated when they not only feel better, but they can do something in a test that shows, oh, wow, I actually am having an impact. I'm changing the foundational terrain of my body.
Mm-hmm. It's so nice not to guess. So speaking of which, what is the next test you would recommend we do?
The last one out of the top five is know your vitamin D level. This is really important, and there's a lot of discussion around vitamin D. And vitamin D actually acts like a hormone in the body. It's such a powerful molecule. And the way that our immune system functions, and even there was a couple studies done looking at, there was decreased risks of breast cancer recurrence for women that had higher vitamin D levels.
Mm.
So our vitamin D level is so important. We live in this beautiful Southern California area where there's lots of sun, and there's a big misconception that if I get a lot of sun, my vitamin D is fine. And when I worked at UCLA, my clinic was up in Malibu, so you can imagine. I mean, the sun-kissed people that came into my office, and I mean, there was people with just shockingly low vitamin D levels. So again, that it has to do with our genetics, and it has to do with a couple of other environmental things. Not everybody is going to get the same amount of vitamin D from the sun. So it's really important, again, not to guess, not to assume, but to know your levels and get tested. And I'll say this too, traditional doctors, if your vitamin D is above 30, you're good. If you look at the range of optimal vitamin D is 31 to 100.
Wow.
So, you know, and the science definitely points to this too. Optimal level for vitamin D is 60 to 70.
Before we go much further with these numbers, is vitamin D important if I'm trying to lose weight?
Absolutely.
So if I'm deficient in vitamin D, how is that affecting my weight?
So again, it goes back to the whole constellation. If your vitamin D is low, your immune system is not going to be functioning well. Mm. You're not going to have the cofactors to drive the cellular processes in your body to make your hormones and metabolize your hormones.
So does the vitamin D in effect ultimately on our hormone balance?
Absolutely. It really is connected. So just the last part of it, and not to worry about the numbers so much, but just for people to be aware, if they ask to get their vitamin D test and they go back and their doctor says your vitamin D is fine, ask them for the number. Make sure to get the number.
Very good. Yeah. So let's recap those five.
Know your MTHFR. Know that gene status.
Mm-hmm.
Know your vitamin D level. Screen for potential allergies, both in food and the environment. Know your toxic metal load with a urine challenge test, and know your gut health.
Gut health. Does the download that you have available for my listeners, does that include where they can find some of these tests?
Absolutely. So I invite patients to come see me. I also do Skype and phone sessions if you don't live in the area. But you can start with your primary care doctor and at least ask them for these. Mm. And like I said, if they don't, then I would recommend finding an integrative doctor in your area, or finding someone, you know, that someone knows that does a Skype or a phone session to be able to get these tests done. Because these are kits that we can ship to people and they can get done remotely.
Which is really convenient too, I have to say. Without your numbers, without a measure or a marker, it's difficult to know if in fact there's something going on and how to improve it. And then most importantly, how to track your progress. Like, it's so exciting for me to be able to be focused on making these changes and actually have the ability to test and see each month how they're improving. And I think too often we say, well, you know, I'll just take a bunch of vitamins, and you don't even know what you're deficient in. You really, or if you need to be taking all those.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm a big proponent of vitamins are information. You know, the body is going to take that. It's like a story that you're giving your body. You're giving it a set of instructions, And if you overwhelm it with a bunch of stuff or you give it the wrong message, you know, you're not doing yourself any service. So to really get the individual information that you need, what are you deficient in? What's causing your inflammation? You know, and again, going back to the hormones, what do you really need to prime your terrain so that then if you need hormone replacement, then you can dive into that and get the benefit from those.
One of the most common questions my audience has is how do I or ask for a test of my hormone levels to know where they are and if they're off? You know, what their hormone levels look like right now. Is there a test you would recommend for that?
Absolutely. So this is a test that actually you can start with a blood test. So mm-hmm. for women who are still cycling, I recommend doing the blood test around day 21 of their cycle. And some people test on day 4 as well of their menstrual cycle. And then in postmenopausal women, we can test it, you know, of course, any day. Mm-hmm. But a blood test will give us a picture of where your hormones are at. Then there's also a urine test. It used to be in the past that you had to do a 24-hour urine collection to get your hormone metabolites, which I wouldn't do, let alone try to get my patients to do. So there's a great new test. It's been around for a couple of years, but it's pretty simple. It requires 2 urine samples at night, 2 urine samples in the morning. Mm-hmm. You FedEx comes and picks it up, and it's a really easy test. And that way we can look at the pathways those hormones are going down. Are we metabolizing those in a healthy pathway or in a more inflamed pathway that's going to confer more risk? So generally when women want to do hormone replacement therapy, I start with the tests that I just described, those top 5, to get a sense of the environment and the terrain. Once I start to make some changes and feel that they're going down healthy pathways and their body's ready to handle hormones, then I generally will just do a blood test and look at how they may benefit from some hormone replacement.
I love it. And because I think the average practitioner does the opposite.
Yeah,
right.
They absolutely do.
and you're saying, well, let's figure out what's going on first because there's something going on, and then let's figure out where specifically we can fix these things as opposed to just prescribing. Well, Dr. Dawn DeSilvia, you are a wealth of information, and you know, I've seen so many specialists and experts over the course of the last 9 months, and I just really was like, it felt so comfortable and excited when I met you in your LA office. So I'm just delighted to have the opportunity for our listeners, my listeners, to spend some time with you to download this incredible resource that you've put together for them. And are people able to reach out to you? Do you do consultations for people out of the area?
Absolutely. So if they go to my website at wholelifehealthmd.com, and again, that'll be in the handout, or they can email my office at info@wholelifehealthmd. I'd be happy to set up a consult with them.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for your time today.
You're so welcome, Shalene.
Amazing. And before I share with you some more really important information about Dr. DeSilvia and the topics we discussed here today, I also want to mention that, you know, I think almost everyone's interested in health, right? Which is why I have a podcast in the health category, The Shalene Show. But I also know a certain number of my listeners are curious, interested in not just health, but like a whole life, like trying to find balance and live this life that just feels right, physically, mentally, spiritually, from a standpoint of purpose. And that oftentimes starts with health and fitness and exercise and nutrition, but I find that it often leads to wanting more in all areas of your life, more knowledge, more education, you know, taking control, sitting in the driver's seat, as I like to say. And that isn't and it's not uncommon for someone to be curious about creating their own thing, you know, whether that's a business or a quote-unquote side hustle, or maybe, you know, taking part in a multi-level marketing organization. There's so many great opportunities now to do what you love, to serve other people, to not have to sell, but to kind of create your own thing. So Before I say goodbye and tell you a little bit more about where you can and what we have next for you on The Chalene Show, I just want to mention that you should, if that's you, you should definitely subscribe to my other podcast. It's called Build Your Tribe. And I try to keep my topics separate, right? So when I'm talking about business or starting your own thing or making extra income or teaching your kids how to, you know, create income of their own, I really keep those topics over on Build Your Tribe. And if that sounds remotely interesting to you and you are on this journey, I encourage you today to go check it out. Just type in Build Your Tribe in any podcast app and it'll pull up my episodes. Subscribe to that show and, you know, let the learning continue. Sit in the driver's seat, not just in your health and fitness, but in the financial areas of your life, all areas of your life, because I just truly believe that health and fitness and wellness often leads people to want more in all areas of their life. Okay, enough about Build Your Tribe. I also wanted to let you know that when I posted this particular audio inside my Diet Beta group, I've got a group of about 2,500 people who are going through and testing protocol specific to diet variation, understanding how to break that metabolic sticking point, like really figuring out their metabolism and how to overcome weight loss resistance and heal their gut. We've been testing a whole very well-researched protocol, and it's been freaking unbelievable. The results are insane. I mean, they've blown me away. They've blown the scientists and the doctors that I'm working with to create this. It's blown them away. Oftentimes, I will post lessons, if you will, inside of that group, and then I can get questions from the members. So what I've done is posted a second or follow-up interview and answered many of the questions that you probably have specific to you after listening to Dr. Dawn DeSilvia. So guess what? Good news. She's back. In fact, the episode right after this one, which is episode number 242, you will find Dr. Dawn DeSilvia answering many of the questions you probably have right now. Okay, so let's recap. Homework assignment was, yes, number one, download the free tips and guidelines on what tests to ask for from Dr. DeSilvia. Number two, subscribe to Build Your Tribe if that's of interest to you. Number three, go listen to the next episode. I know it's a lot to ask, but I love spending this time with you. Anyways, before I leave, I've got to remind you, you are, and I mean this, you are thebomb.com. I'll talk to you soon, hopefully in just a few minutes.